Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
So it's summertime, and for some people, the word conjures feelings of freedom, no lunchboxes, beaches and barbecues, but for many others it can be a logistical nightmare. Now, if you've school-aged children in your life, it's likely that you have just come to the end of the first week of the summer camp juggle, because for that 8-week period that children get off school, childcare for many working parents consists of the goodwill of grandparents, some play dates, some camps perhaps, that might run for shorter hours than the normal school day. So are we missing a trick here? And could Ireland learn from how things are done elsewhere? Well, we wanted to compare the cost and the supports available to parents during the school holidays across Europe, just to see how we fare. And let's first go to Helen Russell, who's a journalist and author of How to Raise a Viking, The Secrets of Parenting the World's Happiest Children. And Helen, you've recently moved back to the UK. You were 12 years in Denmark. How are you readjusting, firstly?
With some interesting results. Thank you. Yes. So it's been interesting. I would say the juggle that you talk about is very real, and it feels like some sort of mad jigsaw table or a sort of war room moving boats across a map, trying to work out for my three children how to cover, yeah, the 6 weeks that we have coming up. So only 6 weeks, but still it's pretty tricky.
But in Denmark, it was a very different story, was it?
Yeah, in Denmark, so there are just 2 weeks where everything is closed and everybody has that time off. So it's week 29 to 30, so around the 14th, the 25th of July. And other than that, there is holiday care, there are the kindergartens and nurseries run as normal. So for the under sixes, that's covered, subsidised by the state. And where my children went to school, just these 2 weeks closed, and then you're paying maybe £100 a week to cover the other 4 weeks. But everyone has these 2 weeks off together. So when they get together afterwards, they are collective restoration, they call it. They are rested, restored, parents are less frazzled. And it all seemed to work a lot more smoothly, I'd say.
So you then take the same holidays as your children get from school or childcare?
Exactly, yeah. And so in Denmark and the Nordic countries, there's much more of a tradition of summer houses or just going to an Airbnb. It's a bit more relaxed, so there's less of a scrabble for everybody trying to fly places in this short space of time where flights become more expensive. So it wasn't so much of a scrabble. And now this is my first summer in the UK system. And yes, the camp situation is already requiring military level planning. And as you say, yeah, the different hours, trying to work out quite how to piece it together is taking up quite a lot of brain space, I'd
say. It feels as though in Denmark the burden is taken away from you to a certain extent. You know exactly when your holiday is going to be. You don't really have to get on a plane. That's not expected. And then the rest of the time, it's taken care of. Would that be right?
I think that's it. Yeah. It's you know, the mental load is less great because everybody is doing the same thing. And it varies a little by municipalities or by different areas. But the sort of emotional labour is less than the jigsaw that we are currently experiencing in the UK, and it's cheaper as well.
And just on the holiday side of things, I'm really interested in this as well. Did you, now that you're back in the UK, did you feel you had to book a holiday, which means getting on a plane and going somewhere?
It's so interesting. I can't quite work out if it's a peer pressure thing, but we have done that for the first time ever in, you know, my eldest is 11, the first time ever in his life. But I think part of it is moving countries and schools. It's been quite a year, I'll be honest. And my stipulation was I'm not cooking or cleaning for a week. So then it was just finding anywhere where that was possible. And perhaps it is because it's in the school holidays that we couldn't really find anywhere. So we are getting on a plane this year. I'll report back. It may never happen again. It may be a disaster, but we'll see.
Helen, we wish you well with it. And thank you for joining us. That is Helen Russell there. Let's go to Spain now. And Sarah Morris is there. Sarah is correspondent in Spain for France 24. So Sarah, what is the deal in Spain? How long are the summer holidays for children, firstly?
They're massive. They're 12 weeks.
Oh, no.
Yes. So you have to find basically 3 months of activities for children. And if you have, I mean, there's a very, very low birth rate here in Spain. And this has to be one of the reasons. The birth rate, I think, is about 1 point something children. Now, if you think about the prices of these summer camps, which is really the go-to option, basically people are having to pay about 200 euros in some case per week per child. And I mean, some of these camps are much more expensive. So that certainly adds up for children. It really is a very difficult exercise to find things to do.
And Sarah, is there any state help with that 200 euro a week multiplied by 12? Is there any help?
Well, basically, all of the education system is run by the regions, and so the regions can start to award grants, and there's also charities that award grants, but it's very, very much a postcode lottery, and it's even a lottery if you are eligible for having that extra help. It's very difficult. There's been a couple of studies coming out basically saying that, for instance, in Barcelona, 67% of the children who do manage to get a grant for those summer camps, they are below the poverty threshold. So there's a lot of people who wouldn't be that poor, but would find it very difficult to be able to earn their salary and pay for these summer camps. And in fact, there's one writer who's written in 20 Minutos, which is the online news site in Spanish. And he basically says that he's got two children in a camp this year. And he said to one of them, "You're going to go to a camp to learn English. Make sure you learn English, because in the future you'll have to pay for your children to go to summer camps." So trying to make a joke of it. But basically saying he will get a vasectomy because he certainly can't pay for more than two children.
Right. And listen, grandparents as well are drafted in to a large extent, aren't they, to help?
They certainly are. I think they are the backbone of Spanish childcare, even during the school times, because the working hours here are very long for some people. They go up to 7:30 every evening. And people who work in a shop or a restaurant, they would be working much longer hours. So it's very common to see 70, 80-year-old men and women looking after their grandchildren in the park or collecting them from schools and summer camps. And there's also another thing that goes on in Spain, which is very traditional, which is that people will have any kind of extra home that they can get their hands on, even if it's a bit of a shack in the countryside, because they will then, because of the heat, try to move out with the children to those cooler areas. And in many cases, it might be sending the children to the grandparents in the countryside for most of the summer, while the parents try to juggle things back in the cities.
I'm just so surprised to hear all of this, Sarah, because I think most people listening to this here in Ireland would have thought that Spain is a family-friendly place. I mean, this sounds awful.
Yes, it is a family-friendly place, but it's the childcare has developed probably pretty slowly, considering that both parents work. We've gone from the Franco era back in the 1970s, where women weren't allowed really to work, or it wasn't very much encouraged. There were working women. But as soon as you get democracy, the Spanish women have gone into the labour market, and it's very unusual for people not to work. Mm-hmm. But what hasn't evolved are these customs. There's still an expression that they say here, which is that people are Rodriguez, and that means that they are this was when the men used to stay in the city, send their wives and children out to the countryside, and they would be able to while they were on their own working, check into hotels under the name Rodriguez with their lovers. And this is still very commonly said to people, "Oh, you're on your own," while the children and the spouse can be a man, can be a woman these days. But that's commonly said. Mm-hmm. Because really the childcare hasn't evolved to allow more people to take more holidays, to have more childcare, to even extend the holidays or spread the holidays out. Because what is often happening is those 12 weeks, a lot of experts say it would be better for children if they had more holidays throughout the rest of the year, allowing them not to forget their what they've learned at school, rather than having this
block.
Very intense, yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
Well, I know there's some people listening to this who say that we're more or less in the same boat here. Sarah, thanks very much for joining us from Spain. Let's go to Graham Butler. Graham is a professor of law in southern Sweden. Hello, Graham.
Hi, Claire.
You have two children, am I right?
I do. One in school, one in preschool. So I see both sides of the system, if you will.
And how does it work there? Is it good?
Well, it's very good. I've nothing to compare to. I've never had children in Ireland, but I suppose I'm much more related to Helen's story in Denmark for her 12 years than Sarah's story, unfortunately. I mean, the system here, I mean, school for young kids who are all the way up to the equivalent of, I suppose, sixth class in Ireland, they ordinarily, during the school year, go to after school as within the school system. And that continues right throughout the summer. So instead of having after school from 1 o'clock to 3 or 4 o'clock when they're picked up, it instead starts at 8 o'clock in the morning and goes all the way till 3 or 4 o'clock for the weeks that they need it. So there's no sort of massive shift, if you will, from when school finishes before summer until it starts after summer. So there's a continuation there. Naturally, whilst it runs all summer, there is the possibility, of course, and most parents do take the 4, 5, 6 weeks, depending on their profession, off with their kids so they're not in daycare. But the supports are there. And I'd say as supports, it's not really seen as a special support. It's just a continuation. A society here expects everybody of working age work, both men and women. It's been like that for a long time under the equality ethos that they have here. And the same applies to preschool. That continues right throughout the summer. And I suppose the main difference between Ireland and Sweden in that regard is that the schools, the preschools here, it's all provided for by the councils. Your local county council, your municipality run it. And therefore, it's and very few, little cost. We're talking about 100, 200 euros a month per child.
Gosh.
So the cost doesn't really come into it at all. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the system here, you know, I can't speak more highly of it. Of course, it's imperfect, but it's a world away from the Irish system, from what I hear. Friends at home who are now having children of their own able to come to. But it fosters a society where parents or people tend to have children at an earlier age. The fact that someone's profession, how much they earn, is not really an inhibition. Everybody is able to have children and under this system. So yeah, I can only speak highly of it.
It sounds great. It really does. You know, it sounds like a utopia for people who are dealing with the stress of it here, particularly at this time of the year. Graham, thanks so much. Graham Butler there, who's in southern Sweden.